This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
COVID-19 officially ends Australia's record-breaking economic growth streak. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. For the first time in 30 years, Australia has fallen into recession after two straight quarters of economic contraction. The economy, which avoided recession during the 2008 financial crisis, shrank 7% between April and June. The BBC's Phil Mercer explains where the pain has been most acute.
The coronavirus pandemic really has inflicted wounds on almost every part of the economy: retail, hospitality, mining, education and tourism. It's really household spending in this country that has well and truly collapsed. The last time Australia was in a recession in the early 1990s, the economy contracted by 1.3%. This time around, it slumped by 7%.
Australia is still trying to tackle a second wave of COVID-19. The state of Victoria is still in its second lockdown. Will that cause more economic pain in the last half of the year?
There is a feeling that the situation will be a drag on the economic recovery. And these are the views of the Australian Finance Minister, Matthias Cormann.
If you look at what's happening towards the end of June and early July, we were certainly heading in the right direction. Jobs were being restored across the economy, and indeed across many sectors of the economy, activity was picking up. But then, of course, the outbreak in Victoria happened. So what we desperately need is to continue to get on top of the outbreak in Victoria to open up the economy as much as we can, as soon as we can.
That's Australia's finance minister there. So, Phil, while this ended a record-breaking run for Australia's economy, it wasn't nearly as sharp a contraction as we saw in places here in Europe, like Germany, where we saw more than 20% contraction in the second quarter, and in the U.S., where we saw 9% contraction. What prevented something more severe in Australia then?
I think by and large, massive government spending has helped to soften the blow. The aim is that businesses placed into lockdown or who've had their trade restricted can still bounce back. And that's where the government comes in. They are essentially subsidising the workforce to the tune of those billions of dollars. Now, Australia survived the Asian financial crisis in the late 1990s, the global credit crunch a decade later. That was largely due to a very long mining boom, sound economic management and good fortune. But now for the first time in 30 years, the Australian economy is in recession and hundreds of thousands of people have lost their jobs. And there is a hope that although Australia has fared better than other countries in terms of the economy, that the recovery here will be very swift.
The BBC's Phil Mercer in Sydney. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Checking the numbers, investors are looking beyond Australia's second quarter stats, sending global shares solidly higher after data this week showed U.S. and European economies are continuing to rebound from the coronavirus crisis. But the EU's securities regulator warned there are big questions about the sustainability of the recent rebound in global stock markets, which rallied 6.5% last month. Benchmarks today across Europe are up between 1.1 and 2.3% after Asian stocks ended their session mostly higher. I'm bored. Two words we often hear from kids who claim they have nothing to keep them occupied. My parents' solution to that was always to send me outside to find something to do. And it worked, sparking my imagination and eventually keeping me busy. So is this a lesson that as adults with lockdown blues, we can relearn that boredom isn't necessarily a bad thing? The BBC's Ed Butler has been finding out.
Ever since the enforced isolation of lockdown has grounded billions of us around the world, we've been wondering how we're going to cope. You may have heard the reported story of the similar 17th century experience suffered by William Shakespeare and Sir Isaac Newton. Such was their boredom during quarantines back then that apparently they produced King Lear, the play, and The Theory of Gravity, respectively. Dr. Sandy Mann has designed clinical tests to study how staring at walls may help us unlock our inner Shakespeare.
We got people bored and we gave them tasks of creative potential. And we found that the more bored they were, the more creative they were. And that wasn't because they were trying to unbore themselves. It was simply because their brain is allowing those neural connections to happen because they're engaged in daydreaming and mind wandering. And these are processes that isn't inhibited by consciousness. When you're daydreaming, you're able to do that kind of lateral thinking thing where you're not putting as much conscious suppression on your thoughts. And that allows that thinking out the box, that lateral thinking to happen.
Practical tips. If you're asking somebody listening to this how to set about using that boredom to stimulate, how would you set about it?
The first thing I would say is you have to let that boredom into your lives. And a lot of people are afraid of that. Just be. Don't try and be anything special. Don't try and solve the world's problems. So that means sitting, staring at the clouds, staring at the rain, as I'm doing at the moment, watching the leaves fall, whatever it is, just being, allowing your mind to wander and daydream whilst you're being, and have a period of that every day. That is what will make you feel good. It will make you feel relaxed and will get the creativity going.
So should employers, for example, be revising their instinctive hostility towards boredom in the workplace? Might it be usefully deployed? Dr. John Eastwood of the Boredom Lab.
I would say that there's nothing good about being boredom in the moment. It's not directly going to make somebody more creative. It might be more about, you know, who can take that downtime and use it in a constructive and creative way. And we really don't know the indirect pathway between boredom and some of these either positive things like creativity or some of these difficulties like addictions and substance use.
Yeah, so in other words, it's a bit like being shoved in the back with a sharp stick. It's not pleasant, but it may get you running faster.
That's right. If you have the ability to run, absolutely. But if you struggle, then you're just going to get poked.
A gentle prod there from Dr. John Eastwood. So boredom as the mother of invention, maybe sometimes. But it's not a simple question. I'm the BBC's Ed Butler for Marketplace.
Share your best boredom-fighting strategies with us at the hashtag BBC Marketplace in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.